Did you know that most people don't actually complete online courses? Now, I didn't know this until a good few years into my course creation journey. Completion rates are actually often as low as 10 or 20%. Now, I should have known because I've invested in so many online courses. I haven't completed, in some cases, I'm ashamed to say I haven't even opened. But if I had known, I know I would have approached things very, very differently. In this episode, I'll share something really important that I've learned in my 10-year course creation journey, and it's this. Your aim as a course creator should always be to create the shortest course possible. I'm Janet Murray. I'm a business strategist, copywriter, and online course creator. And over the last decade, I've generated hundreds of thousands of pounds in sales of digital products, including online courses, ebooks, memberships, planners and journals, templates, you name it, I have probably sold it online. I've also helped hundreds of clients create and launch online courses, and I use my strategic copywriting skills to write courses for other people. I created this podcast to help you navigate the overwhelm around online course creation and sales, because I have learned a lot of things the hard way. And in sharing what I do on this podcast, and particularly in the first series, I hope I will be able to help you avoid some of the mistakes that I made in the early days and hopefully save you time and money in the long run. So, what would I have done differently? Now I know that most people don't complete online courses. As I say, if you look at research on this, the completion rate, the maximum I've ever seen is about 20%. And it makes sense because most of us would rather not sit at our computer watching endless video tutorials. Like, we just want to learn what we need to learn and get it done as quickly as possible. So if I was starting my course creation journey again, I would build as I go. So I've talked about this in both the first and second episodes. I talked about starting with one online webinar or masterclass, building from there, building modules, and then turning that into a course so that you can earn while you're learning, while you're building your online course library. I would also do something that has just been completely radical for me, a change that I have made in my own approach to online course creation and how I create them for clients. I make all my online courses no more than 60 to 90 minutes of audio or video, preferably audio. I'll share why in a second. If it needs to be longer than that, in my view, and bear in mind I've created a lot of courses myself and helped clients with theirs, it's too long, it's too much, it's not going to be finished. And it is absolutely possible to deliver learning when you're intentional, when you really think about only including what the client needs to get the outcome that they're looking for, when you're super niche with your course topic, which we'll talk about later in this podcast season, and when you also include the right kind of templates and resources to ensure they actually implement, it's more than possible. And I could give you so many examples to prove it. The next thing that I would do is to use a repeatable format and a repeatable learning experience. So all of my online courses and those that I create for clients have this format. So maximum 60 to 90 minutes audio or video, preferably audio. Again, I'll get to why in just a second. I turn the script for the course into an ebook. So we've got a text version of it, which also is important for accessibility. And I also include usually 6 to 8 at least templates. So, and the same kinds of templates. So it might be templates for emails, it might be checklists, it might be other kinds of lists, it might be templates for, I've got client proposals or, you know, sales letters or whatever it might be. But I try to make it repeatable so that I'm not reinventing the wheel every time. So every time I create a new course, I'm not having to start from scratch and thinking, oh, how many modules and like, what should I include in each? It's a repeatable format. So I'm adapting. I'm not having to reinvent the wheel every time. And I know my clients really appreciate that, but also your learners really appreciate it, because you might think you're being really helpful creating a course that's got audio and video and downloads and templates and whatever. But actually, when your learner gets the resources, and there's so many of them, they don't know what's what and what goes with what. And believe you me, even with, I only ever have 3, so I have audio content, the ebook, and I have templates. Even with that, people will still go, oh my God, there's a lot of stuff here. So, and that's only with 3 types of content. So that's another really key thing, is like, repeatable format, not too many types of content, but enough so that it's accessible and you're not excluding anybody and you're taking account of people who have disabilities and what have you. I also am a big fan of audio. I don't know about you, I've got ADHD and I know a lot of my clients do. It's quite common in people who run their own businesses, kind of people who would, you know, start a business, entrepreneurs tend to have that kind of brain. I don't know about you, but I don't want to sit at my computer and watch video tutorials unless I absolutely have to. So I play the piano, and so that's really the only time when I look at things. Although if I can get it by listening, I'll do that too. But a lot of the time we're making people sit and watch videos of you talking over slides, basically, or of an expert talking over their slides. I've actually created a course for someone, a commercial photographer. Now, if you can create an audio course for a commercial photographer with no video content, you might wonder, how do you do that? Well, it's in the quality of the audio script that you write. So, for example, with this commercial photographer, in the ebook that goes along, the ebook version, which is just a text version of the audio course, we did include pictures. But when she was recording the audio, when I wrote the script for the audio for her, we're having to go, right, so you have to think about how you can describe something. So it's basically, I mean, I come from a journalism background, but it's basically like what you do on radio. So you know that people can't see it. So you say, okay, so you can't see this, but I'm going to describe this infographic or this picture to you. And you'll be amazed actually how people go, oh, it's not possible. It's absolutely possible. And the great thing about audio, of course, is that people can listen on the go. So they can learn while they're walking the dog, while they're running, while they're washing up, they're doing the housework. And if you make your learning something that people can do while they're doing something else, they're far more likely to complete. And if it's not so long, you know, we can all find 60 minutes, 90 minutes. If it's short enough so that people can actually get through it all, and you've also provided implementation resources, templates, checklists, so that they can actually do the thing, you're not just telling them what to do, but you're also giving them the tools, like how to do it. So for example, in my business strategy training that goes along with my planner, a client said to me the other day, oh, wow, I used your client proposal template to pitch this. I think in this particular case, it was a web designer, and I've just won a contract for thousands of pounds and I used your template. So the other thing about templates for implementation is you're actually giving people things that they can use to help ensure that they're not just taking in the information, they're actually doing something with it, because that's a point where people can get stuck. And this is really about really trying to understand your learners and create something that's going to help them to get results. So why is all of this important? Well, as I've already shared, you do actually want people to finish the course and get the outcome and get a good result. Because if they don't, where are you going to get testimonials from? How are you going to get people to say, oh, this was really amazing, I implemented this, I used Janet's resource and I've got two new clients and made £5,000. You know, so in terms of you justifying why people might invest in your course, it's really important people can both finish it and they can actually implement it, okay? So that's why the shortness is important. So if no one finishes, no one gets great results because they're halfway through it, how do you get testimonials? It's just really, really hard. And I think this whole business around thinking that you have to do an online, and I think it's worth thinking about why a lot of people have this idea that you have to do this all singing, all dancing, multimodal online course. I think partly it comes from feeling like you have to justify your price. So that something can't be valuable unless it involves somebody sitting for like hours and hours and days and days. But your value and your pricing should not be based on how long it takes somebody to complete the course. In fact, I think most of us will often pay more for something that gets the results that we want quicker. So what sometimes happens with course creators, I think they feel that they have to add more modules, have bonuses, have all different types of content to justify the price. You really don't. Your learners will love you if you can keep it really simple. You can provide as few formats as possible so they're less likely to get confused. You can make it short enough so they can actually finish it and they can implement and get great results. So I hope this episode has made online course creation feel more realistic and hopefully less overwhelming for you. It doesn't need to be long or complicated or have multi-modules. The key thing is, will your course deliver the outcome that the learner wants? In the next session, I'm going to talk a bit more about building an audience. So how do you actually ensure that you've got enough people to sell your online course or digital product to? And I'm also going to fess up about some advice that I wish I hadn't given in the past and something I've really changed my mind on. The most common reason people get stuck stuck with online courses and in some cases never get around to creating them at all is because they're overwhelmed by the tech and they think they can't launch an online course unless they have a fancy membership site or they invest in other platforms or tools. But the truth is you don't need any of this stuff to launch an online course. The problem is there's a whole industry out there that's designed to make you think you do need all of this stuff and to make you feel like you have to run before you've even started walking. And you really don't need any fancy tech to launch your online course and to sell it successfully. So I put together a free download with my favourite low or no cost ways to host an online course. It's called 7 Low or No Cost Ways to Host an Online Course. And I've included a link to get the download in the show notes. If you're good at remembering links, it's at janetmurray.co.uk/onlinecoursehosting. So it's janetmurray.co.uk/onlinecoursehosting.